psalm, and we're going to the 78th book of psalm. And you notice I didn't say chapter because the psalms don't have chapters. The psalms have books. And so we're going to the 78th book of psalm, and I want to give you an opportunity to find it because I'm going to read several verses as our scripture text for the day. Psalm 78, beginning at verse number 12. You will find these words: marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand as an heap. Verse 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. And I want you to pay close attention to verse number 19. It says, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Watch this. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Take your seats. I want to talk to you all just a little while here today from this subject matter. Can God? They say, can he give us bread? Can he provide for us? Can God? When I read this particular text, couldn't help but come to the conclusion that it sounds like us sometimes. We say we want to serve the Lord and know without a shadow of a doubt that God will. And then when he tells us what he wants us to do, we often balk at what the Lord is doing. And how many of y'all know God is working a work? You may not understand what he's doing but in your life, but somebody need to know that God is working a work. The fact of the matter is, this was Israel's problem. They were called out of Egypt to follow the Lord by faith. And how many of you all know we walk by faith and not by sight? But however, they seem to constantly doubt the power, the promises, and the presence of God as they traveled. The fact of the matter is, the entire attitude of their hearts is summed up in a two-word question. And that question simply is, can God? So when they ask this question, they are doubting everything about the Lord. The fact of the matter is, I would say that they needed a lesson in trust. It's one thing to say I trust in God, but it's another thing to mean it. You see, I realize that we are a lot like Israel because we often ask the question, can God? But today I'd like to tell you and show you from the scripture, if you don't already know, that God can. Because the God we serve is still the Lord of glory. And the fact of the matter is, he's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. And I stood for a few minutes to tell you that he's still able to do all the things he have ever been able to do. And so you may be asking, you may have come to church today, and you may be asking the question, can God? I dare you to just buckle up for a few minutes and take a ride with this old preacher, because we're going to discover that God can. When you look at this particular scripture, even though it's written in the book of Psalm, here Asaph is referring to the children of Israel. And he is referring to the time when they had their wandering period in the wilderness. And when you look at this psalm real closely, he shows us a few things that I want to just point out to you all here today. Because the first thing that when you read this psalm in its entirety that you notice is the condition of the people. We have to understand the condition of the people. And when I look at verse number 20, and when I glance all the way down at verse number 41, that's not on the screen today, so y'all gonna have to really pay attention. When I look at verse number 20 and then glance down at verse number 41, I cannot help but to discover that they were a faithless bunch of folks. Because here was a people who called themselves by God's name. Here was a people who should have trusted the Lord without reservation. Yet they seemed oblivious to the power of God in their midst. It's sad when God is working in our lives, when God is working in our midst, and we cannot see God. And isn't that a lot like the people of the Lord today? I gotta say it, because instead of trusting God and living by faith, we worry and we fret. Deacon Taylor used to sing the song, "If the Lord is taking care of you, what you got to worry about?" And listen, it doesn't have to be that way, because I want to inform us here that we have a God in whom we can trust. We can trust him without reservation. We can trust God with fear. I trust in God wherever I may be, on the mountaintop or out on the raging sea. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. That's good news here today. I said that's good news, that no matter what you're going through, what the devil is trying to do, our heavenly Father, he watches over us. And let us resolve to be like Jesus when he challenged Thomas. He said, "Thomas, don't be faithless, but be believing." Because why? If you only believe, that all things are possible. What? If we only believe. And so they were a faithless group of people. After experiencing all that God had already done for them, they were still faithless. And then when you look at verse number 7 down to verse 16, they were a forgetful people. It's bad enough that they were faithless, but then now you discover that they were forgetful. The nation of Israel seemed to be unable to remember all the great miracles that God had performed on their behalf. He had delivered them from Egypt by the plagues, and how he had parted the Red Sea, how he made the waters of Marah, the bitter waters, pure, how he had put their enemies on the run, how he had proven himself to be God and to be all powerful, not just once, but time and time and time again. They were forgetful of the mighty power of God that they had actually witnessed in their lives. This wasn't something that somebody told them. It wasn't something that they read about, but this was actually, they had personal experience. And it's many of us, we've come here to church today, and if I gave you this mic and allowed you enough time, you wouldn't be able to help but to say, I got some personal experiences with God. God has opened up some doors. God have made some way, many ways. And fact of the matter is, if we were to be transparent, we would have to say, I should not even be here, but God. I'm just wondering if there's one or two people that can join my testimony and say that I shouldn't even be here today, but God, I should have been cut off long time ago. I should be dead, sleeping in my grave, but the Lord told death to behave. That last thing that you experienced should have taken you up out of here. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God. I might have bags under my eyes, but I can still see. I might be a little tired, but I'm still putting one foot, oh, thank you, Jesus, in front of the other. And then there are some folk, when you look at this text, once again, it describes some people, because how many times have God come through for you? How many times? How many times? You know what? I believe he's come. My God, God's come through so many times for me until I've lost count. I mean, anybody else in here done lost count just how many times God had to come through for us? How many times have God moved mountains? How many times have he parted the waters in your life? How many times have he lifted the veil of affliction and suffering in your life and allowed the light of his glory to brighten up your day? How many times have he spoken peace to your storm? How many times have he met the need? How many times have he done the impossible? Can I talk to y'all for a little while? How many times have the Lord proven himself to be God all by himself, and he did it just for you? How many times have we forgotten all about what he did yesterday and what he is doing for us right now? I got a testimony. Can I have 15 seconds in my testimony to share with you? And that is that every time I turn around, the Lord, he just keeps on making a way. I got a few more seconds in my testimony. The Lord is blessing me right now. You may not be able to see, but I want you to know that the Lord is blessing me right now. I wonder if it's got about five folk that don't mind looking at somebody and telling them, the Lord is blessing me right now. If he ain't blessing you, don't tell nobody. If you feel that God ain't doing you right, don't tell nobody. If you have your problems and they got you so down and depressed and oppressed that you feel that God is not, don't you tell nobody. But I need somebody else to tell somebody else that the Lord is blessing me right now. I may not look like it, I might not act like it, but one thing I want you to know is that the Lord, he's blessing me right now. I have my problems that I'm facing, but the Lord is blessing me right now. I'm a little confused about a little situation, but the Lord is blessing me right now. Got bad news from the doctor, but that's okay, because the Lord is blessing me right now. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Hallelujah. The Lord is blessing me right now. And so when you look at the children of Israel, I better move on. When I look at the children of Israel, not only were they forgetful, but I have to declare that they were also foolish. They were foolish. They were really foolish by asking, can God? Because what they did was they proved their ignorance of God's power and of his person. This same scene was played out many times during the course of Israel's wilderness experience. And after now they have arrived in Canaan, one time that comes to mind is when the 12 spies were sent into Canaan. And while there, they encountered a race of people. And the Bible said that they were giants. That you have to understand, God had told them, I'm going to give you the land. How many of y'all know when God said he's going to give you something, it don't matter what the devil say. Hello, somebody. It don't matter what the devil does. When God says he's going to give you something, all you got to do is keep on trusting and believing in God. You're going to get it. But guess what? I'm going to test your faith before I give it to you. I want you to go and I want you to go search out. I want you to observe the land that I'm getting ready to give you. But you're going to have to conquer the land. In other words, you're going to have to make some sacrifice. Uh-oh. I know some of y'all thought that what God had for you was just going to come to you on a silver platter. But I need you to know that there's some land that you're going to have to conquer. There are some sacrifices that we're going to have to make. There are some things that we're going to have to give up in order to experience our Canaan. And the 12 spies, y'all know the story, got over into Canaan, and the first thing they looked at Elder Mason was that these men look like giants and we look like grasshoppers. What different to make what I look like? I might look like a grasshopper, but I'm hopping with God on my side. Y'all ain't gonna help me. And God's the only person that I know that can cause a grasshopper to defeat a giant. The walls was great and the fruit of the land was so big until it took so many men to carry one piece of fruit. This is what God had promise you. When they looking at them, and 10 of them came back with the report that we are not able to conquer the land. And they began to give a description. I'm going to feel like preaching in a minute. They begin to give a description, hallelujah, of everything that their natural eyes had seen. But somebody say, thank God for Joshua and Caleb. Because Joshua and Caleb, they trusted God wholly. And the Bible said it didn't matter what the walls looked like. Didn't matter, Jenny, what the people looked like. It just didn't matter, because they declared that if the Lord delights in us, we are more than able to conquer the land. I need to tell somebody, don't matter what your supervisor look like. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. It don't matter what the bank president just told you. It don't matter what the figure you just heard. Y'all ain't gonna help me. If God delights in us, I stop by to tell somebody that we are more than able. Thank you, Jesus. We are more than able to conquer the land, because with God, there's no mountain that's too high. With God, there's no valley that's too low. With God, there is no river that's too deep. And so they were foolish, hallelujah, by questioning whether or not God can. But I want you to know here today that I'm not questioning whether or not God can or not. Because guess what? God's power can do what no other power can do. And so when you look at the condition of the people, I can't end this message with the condition of the people, because I would end on a very sad no. But thank God for the God of the people. Now watch this. Israel was God's chosen people, but they chose not to trust in God. You are God's children. We are our Heavenly Father's children. And we can choose to trust God, or we can choose to fret and to worry. Because when I look at the condition of the people, hallelujah, thank God that didn't cause me to stop reading, because I could not help when I look at verses 5-7, but to look at the character of our God. Listen, when things are beginning to overwhelm you, why don't you look at the character of your God? Because in verses 5-7, you can see his promises. Because Israel has seen God keep his word time and time again. He was always faithful to do what he had promised them. And how many even though God hasn't changed. Oh, you ought to tap yourself and say, God hasn't changed. God is the same. He never changed. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same. Some of y'all don't even want to talk to your own self. That's pitiful. He's the same forever. He's the same forevermore. God, he hasn't changed. He is still a God who keeps his word. Everything that God promised, God, he's going to do. Do y'all believe the Bible? Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's also able to perform it. I need somebody to hear me. Whatever God has promised you, stop trying to perform it on your own, because it's just not going to work. But I dare you to trust God. Whatever word God has spoken over your life, guess what? It shall come to pass. If God said he's going to heal you, I don't care how sick you become, guess what? You are might as well consider yourself already healed. If God spoke a word that he's going to give you a promotion, I don't care how many folk they hire before they finally hire you, I dare you to just hold on to God, because what God has promised... Somebody, you need to hear that today. What God has promised, I stopped back here to tell you that God, he will perform it, because the Hebrews 6:18 tell us that it's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. God, he cannot help but to tell the truth. God couldn't lie if he wanted to lie. Hallelujah. God, y'all, I want y'all to get that. God couldn't lie if he tried to lie. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. He said, I'm God, and it's impossible. It's impossible for me to lie. So I dare you to stand on his promises. And then verse 12 and verse number 4, when you look at the character of God, not only do I see his promise, but I see his performance. Because all throughout their history, Israel had enjoyed the presence of the Almighty God. There they wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years. I want y'all to calculate that. 40 long years. Notice, walking through the wilderness, and yet God provided for them. They didn't have no clothing store in the wilderness. They didn't have no Nike store. They didn't have no shoe store in the wilderness. So guess what? God had to provide, because as they begin to grow, that means their feet got larger. Y'all ain't gonna help me here, but you don't read in the Bible where they stop by the shoe store or the shoe shop. No, because God is a miracle working God. So if their feet start growing, guess what else start growing? God calls the shoes to also grow. Y'all ain't listening here to me. How many of y'all know God will make a way out of no way? God had been good to his children. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a cloud of fire by night. God had protected them. The sun is not going to smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. God protected them with the cloud. How many of you all know, and how many of you all will admit, that we have the mighty hand of God protecting over our lives? Can I help you here today? It wasn't because you were such a good driver on the freeway, but it was the grace and the mercy of God that car next to you that wasn't paying no attention. You were covered by the blood of Jesus while we slept and while we slumbered all night long. It wasn't the bars on your house. It wasn't the alarm system. It wasn't the cameras that was videotaping for 24 hours. But the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him all day and all night. The angels keep watching over me. It was the performance of God. Not only did God watch over us, but he watched over our children when we don't even have no control of where they are or how long they stay there. But yet God covers them. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. He covers them with the blood. He blesses them. He provides for them. He make a way out of no way for them. God, if you just did it for me, I would say thank you also. But not only have you done it for me, God, but you're doing it from one generation to the next generation. I got a testimony. Can I testify? Like David, I once was young, but now I'm a little older, Elamason, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Have I got a witness in here that God has proven himself time and time and time again? Oh, look where the Lord has brought me from. I'm not going to look back over my shoulder because I'm going to preach too long. But when I think of the performance of God, and one thing about God, he don't take no performance enhancers. Oh, he ain't got to stop by the GNC store. He's God all by himself. Oh, I wish I had some folk up in here that God had to perform in your life. All you had to do was just show up. All you had to do was just show up for the performance, and then you grabbed hold to the Bible that your eye have not seen, neither have your ear heard, neither have it appeared unto the hearts of men what good things God's got in store that love him. And because you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, you showed up for the performance. And is there anybody up in here that can say God showed out? You ought to tell your neighbor, God showed out. I said, God showed out. I'm talking about when folk looking for cars and can't get them, and you come to town a few days and get a car, you ought to jump up and shout, God showed out. When folk looking for places to live and God bless you with a place to live, you ought to say, God showed out. Is there anybody up in here? I'm preaching too hard here. I'm preaching too hard, Ella Mason, that can declare God showed out. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And if there's anybody up in here, if there's anybody in here, if there's anybody in here that said, now, wait a minute, why them folks so happy? God ain't showed out in my behalf. Well, let me put some scripture for you. He said, call on me and I will answer you. And not only am I going to answer you, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you some great and marvelous things. Is there anybody up in here? You need God to show you something. Oh, I dare you to trust him and never doubt. Because surely God will. He'll bring you out. When I look at that verse, hallelujah, I cannot help but to see the performances of God. God, help us. Help us to see your performance. Help us to see when you show up in our lives. Verse number 4. Are y'all following me? Not only do you see his performance, but you also see God's power. Throughout history, he proved himself to be stronger than every obstacle they could face. He was more powerful than Egypt. God was more powerful than Egypt. And I stop right here to let somebody know, he's more powerful than your disease. Glory, he's more powerful than heart trouble. He's more powerful than depression. He's more powerful than oppression. I serve a powerful God. Oh, he's more powerful. He proved himself to be greater. He proved himself to be greater than their thirst. He's greater than your hunger. He was they were able to overcome everything that they faced because of the power of God. And I stop back here to let y'all know, God ain't lost no power. He is still all powerful. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. And then he died. And they took him off the cross. And they put him in the ball tune. But the Bible said on the third day early, he got up out of that grave. And guess what? When he got up out of the grave, he didn't get up quietly. But he got up talking. Live man talking. He got up talking, and what was he declaring? That all power. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
ye is given unto me both in heaven and on earth. And the power he got up in heaven, he got the same power right down here on earth. In fact, of the matter, God said, I'm going to testify on my own self. Now, you know you're doing something. Hello here, somebody. You know you better take this word. This ain't the pastor trying to prophesy to you. This ain't nobody else trying to tell you nothing new. But God said, I'll testify to my own self. When he looked at Abraham in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and verse number 14, he said, I'm getting ready to testify to you. And when he testified, he said, is there anything too hard for God? This is God talking about, is there, in other words, Abraham, I'm looking at you face to face, and I want to ask you, is there anything too hard for me to do? Hello here. You know what? If y'all had a pastor that could do absolutely anything, and you asked me to do something, I said, now what you asked me that for? Is there anything you think that I cannot do? Ella Mason, I know you feel there, just you could do everything in the whole wide world. I already know. I already know you can fly a plane. I already know. If they put you in the cockpit and you take us right to Dallas, Texas, you would land that plane. Hallelujah. But please, I'm not getting in there with you, because some of us just feel like we can do absolutely, y'all ain't talking back to me. Some of us feel like we can do absolutely anything. Well, I mean, don't mean to bust your bubble, but there's just some things we cannot do. There are just some things that we cannot do. But when I talk about our Father, which is in heaven, there is not anything that our God that he cannot do. God will do it. And he said, at the time of appointed, he said, Abraham, I'm going to return unto you. And when I return unto you, you're going to see a miracle. I stop back here to let you know that you got an appointed time with the Lord. And I ain't talking about death right now. I'm talking about your blessing is on the way. You ought to tell your neighbor, your blessing's on the way. It's just an appointed time. I know you wanted it yesterday. I know you want it for Christmas. Y'all ain't gonna help me. But it's for an appointed time. And God said, I can't lie. And there's nothing too hard for me. Then I cannot help but to join the Apostle Paul and say, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think to ask God to do. While y'all sitting there, close your eyes real quick. Don't go to sleep, because some of y'all halfway there anyway, but just hold on. But close your eyes, and in your wildest imagination, I want you to think of something that you want God to do for you. It ain't got to be spiritual right now. Don't be deep, but just your wildest. I feel y'all spirit. Look, keep your eyes closed. I feel your spirit. Some of y'all got a big old house out on the lake, and you got some horses and all that stuff riding around, and you sitting out there on the big old high balcony looking at the sunset. I see you. I see you. Some of y'all driving around in a Bentley right now. Y'all have mercy. So open up your eyes. God said, watch what God says. I'm able to do more. Yeah, more than what you could even think. So whatever you just thought of, God said, you limited me, because your mind can't even comprehend, because I'm able to do more than your mind, more than you could even ask me to do. We asked in God. I keep telling y'all, well, stuff we asked in God for, God is probably looking at us saying, are you kidding me? Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me preach. God probably say, are you kidding me? God is saying, I want to do so much more for you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody get that in your spirit. Get it in your spirit. We serve a so much more God. So much more than you can even think, because of his power. But I see something else in verse 38. I'm almost finished. You got to have patience. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You got to wait on God. Somebody said, Lord, how long do I have to wait on you? And you know what God said? I got an answer for you. God said, my child, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. Well, if you had to come here Tuesday night, then you would have understood what I'm talking about right here. But I ain't got time to go back over it. But God said, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. I want to give you the desires of your heart. Oh, come on. Can I talk? Can I get y'all to really get this down in your spirit? Serenity. Serenity said, Grandpa, I'm going to send you my Christmas list. I'm going to send it to you. A list. Hallelujah. We're grown up. We got one gift. Better be happy. I'm going to send my Christmas list to you. I think I got an email or something, a text message, and it had her Christmas list on it. She wasn't greedy. She might have had two or three little things on there, but she's trusting her grandpa. Where's she at? Is she in here? She's somewhere. She's trusting her grandpa. Are y'all following me to get her what she requests? I'm not God. She don't know how much money I have. She don't know we broke. Hello, come here. She just don't know we ain't got no money. But what? She's depending on her grandpa. She sent the list. Ooh, glory. And because of her honesty, because of her sincerity, because of her overjoyed, I was able to reflect back on last Christmas on how her face just lit up when, y'all ain't listening here to me, when her face lit up last year with the presents that we gave her, until all of that came back to my mind. And I said, Brother Elliot, I want to see that again. I want to see that again. As soon as I got the list, I went downstairs and went on. Click, 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 click. Take my little card. I put it in there. Listen, because watch this. I wanted her to have the desires of her heart. And not only did I want her to have the desires of her heart, but I reflected back on the joy that I experienced watching her rejoice over what I had gotten her. That's just like God. The reason why God don't open up some doors and work some miracles in your guys' life, because you look mean, you act mean, your attitude is nasty. If he gave you $1 million, you wouldn't smile. You wouldn't say thank you. God said, I ain't giving you nothing. Thank you. But when I pray, God ain't got to go to Amazon. Look, glory. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it, because he's the one that founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He's the one that said, you abide in me and my word abide in you. You can ask whatever you will and it shall be given unto you. Smile a while. Give your face a rest. May God want to bless you. Said, may God want to bless you. May God want to bless you. I got one brother-in-law. It ain't Brother Polite. Got one brother-in-law. No matter what you give him a $2 7-Eleven gift card. And you would have thought you gave him $2,000 cash. Oh, he just smiles. He's just grinning. Oh, for me. Oh, for me. I'd be looking like, it's only $2. Oh, for me. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I can't wait to get him a $5 gift card. Are y'all following me? I'm trying to help y'all here today. Because if he acts like that over a $2 card, how's he going to act over a... All right, somebody say, preach, pastor. Listen, have you ever experienced giving somebody something? Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me here. You experienced giving somebody something, and when you hand it to them, you waiting to you want some kind of expression or something, and they just take it and look at it, make you want to just say, "Give that back to me." If you're happy, listen, St. Luke, if you're blessed, if you know God has performed in your life, I ain't saying you got to go around dancing and shouting and being loud like me, but every now and then tell God, thank you. Every now and then when I ask what God. Let me close. Thank you, sir. Let me close. I'm trying to help us. We're coming towards the end of 2016. Don't make no New Year resolution. Make a New Year change. Don't even say it. Let us show God that we appreciate Him. And please understand, you're not the only one going through. Some folk go through and you act like you're the only one. Everybody supposed to pay you attention. Some of us is going through so much we can't pay attention. How are we going to pay attention to you? We can't pay attention to ourselves. You got a whole, what's up? We got a whole church full of folk can't pay attention. But in everything, give thanks. Trust God. Believe God. Whatever you lost in 2016, it wasn't a total loss. Because if you trust God, He'll give you double. Y'all ain't looking at me. You might have left one job. Don't worry about that job. God had to move you from that one job in order to bless you for the real one where He wants you. Oh, Jesus. Here's the challenge for today, and I'm done. I got to give y'all a challenge. You know that. Here's the challenge. Have confidence in God. That's the challenge. Have confidence in God. Say it again. Have confidence in God. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Even though the world looks like it's declining, we have escalating violence. We have economic trouble, decreasing the popularity of the church. Folks just ain't going to church no more. You watch it at home now, folks FaceTiming. You watch church now, and everybody got their cameras up like this. Anybody worshiping, everybody filming. Y'all ain't talking back here to me. Everybody filming. I don't even have to go no more. I just stay home. Don't have to go to a concert no more. You paid $30 to get in the concert, and I can watch it for free. Because everybody's live, and y'all ain't going to talk back here to me. Supposed to be praising. Hello, here's somebody. It's declining. Modern technology. Don't forget about forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forget about edifying the people of God, building one another up. Hello, here. We don't forget about all of that. But even though there's a decline in all the churches, here's a challenge I have for you. Have confidence in God. Have confidence in God. We could talk about Daniel and the lion then all we want. Amen, somebody. We could talk about the three Hebrew boys all we want. Amen. We could talk about the woman who had, when Elijah went to her, amen, and said, give me the last of your meal, make me a cake. I like preaching about all of that. She did it. But I want you to know, if God did it for them, God will also do it for you. Let's stop talking about the disciples on the ship. Some of y'all on the ship, and it ain't even no water, and you getting ready to drown. That's bad, ain't it? I'm going to say it again because that's horrible, but that's how some folk feel. That's how some people act. You act like you're on a ship with no water, but you're getting ready to drown. And it ain't even no water. You feel like you're in a storm and the sun is shining. Oh, y'all don't like me today. I'm going to say it again. You feel like you're in a storm and God is just letting the light of glory be all around you, and you talking about you in a storm. You made more money than you ever made in your life, and you're still talking about you broke. You were broke when you made $5 an hour. You're broke when you make $60 an hour. You're still talking about you broke. You in a ship with no water, and you're drowning. But it's all in your mind. The challenge is to trust God even when you go through the storms of your life. Call to mind, your past, not your bad past, but what God has already done for you. And that right, Sister Roxanne? Y'all watch Sister Roxanne get happy. Everybody like calling her name because she going to get happy. Some of y'all, if I call your name, you ain't even wake up. So I like calling Sister Roxanne name because won't the Lord even change your name? You ain't got to tell us why, but we know the name. God done took her from Gypsy to Roxanne.
The real.
The real. Oh, okay, you telling too much now. Be quiet. I didn't mean to repeat that. But that's all right. God can do it. God can turn it around. God can bring you out. God can take us over. God can supply all of our needs. God can heal our infirmities. Let's stop talking about it and start believing God. Because his promises are true. Healing is the children's bread. By his stripes we already healed. He's the balm in Gilead. He's a physician that's there. I trust God. What that scripture you just said? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. He don't just pick and choose which ones. He brings us out of them all. Oh, y'all stand up. I wish I had some folk that would really trust God. Really depend on God. Not just talk it, but actually walk it. Actually live it. God, if you did it before, I already know you can do it again. Whatever it is, whatever.